You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Market-moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures are giving back some of Monday's record highs amid a truckload of news. Retail earnings, Amazon launching pharmacy, Tesla into the S&P, Berkshire's 13F, and much more. Retail sales were light, but up for a sixth month. Our roadmap begins with the Amazon drugstore. The retail giant will ship prescriptions to Prime members. CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid all take a hit.
Plus, the COVID consumer, Walmart, Home Depot, and Kohl's among the retailers that are reporting earnings today. Walmart, by the way, another one, says e-commerce sales up 79%. And Elon Musk's billions, Tesla's getting a spot in the S&P 500. It is amongst the highest valued companies to ever enter the benchmark index, and Musk is on track to become number three. That is, Carl, the third richest person in the world.
Indeed, guys. But we'll start with the retail picture this morning. Jim, you've been pretty vocal as to the investor response on Home Depot and Walmart. I guess that's related to the news out of Amazon.
Yeah, well, look, by the way, those stocks do tend to run up in the quarter and then they sell off. So that's nothing new. A more aggressive Amazon is always something we have to pay attention to. I remember when Amazon bought pill packs, the drugstores got killed. I also point out that Walmart's online. David, that's not going to go away. Now, you could argue, someone's going to argue that's the peak. I would argue that Amazon and Walmart have taken so much share in this country and that you cannot dismiss what Walmart's done in terms of permanence, David. It's not just the pandemic. No. They have really changed the way people think. And I think a lot of people in New York are snobs. They don't understand how Walmart has integrated itself into the part of about 200 million people's lives.
Yeah, well, listen, there's lots of space that Walmart could conceivably avail itself in New York City to change people's minds. They could create a superstore, given how much space there is in terms of retail right now. You know, you said a newly aggressive or more aggressive Amazon, Jim.
Yeah.
Amazon's never anything but aggressive, and I think that shows it today.
I've
made this point before. I mean, put in relentless.com. And what do you get? What does it send you to?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, of course. You know that. I've brought this up before.
Well,
it sends you to Amazon.
We've been waiting for this. You're absolutely right.
And we've been waiting for it. There is nothing that Amazon won't. I mean, they just continue to constantly be as aggressive as they possibly can be. And this is an opportunity in terms of pharmaceuticals that has been one that people have been focused on for the company for some time, certainly since the announcement of the deal to acquire PillPack, which was back in June of 2018, June 28, 2018, they announced that. And then the licenses that we saw them take, obviously a lot of them were from medical devices over some period of time. People were focused on that and saying, no, they're not going to necessarily compete, Jim, in pharmacy. But then the PillPack acquisition, then questions, then CNBC.com even reporting, right? What was that? Early this year that they trademarked Amazon Pharmacy in all sorts of places, international trademarks.
All right, so did GoodRx beat the Grim Reaper by coming public? How about the fact, are they decisive enough to go against CVS and Walmart? CVS and I'd say who else is going to get the Walgreens? Right, they're both going to get the vaccine.
Oh, the vaccine, right.
Right, let's
start with the GoodRx is a company you follow closely. We had Doug Hirsch on, what, Friday?
Yeah.
I mean, it's down 19%. Does it deserve to be?
Let's get them on. I think that Walmart seems to be offering a similar service to them, except for we're Prime members. We don't have to rethink everything or go to the drugstore. I think that when you look at Amazon, David, the fact is we're all going to evaluate whether we shouldn't be buying our pharmaceuticals
right.
there.
We
have to.
Right.
And that's the way America is.
Carl,
I mean,
you can just include
with
your grocery shopping. I mean, 80% of outpatient prescriptions, about a $400 billion market, are available for mail order. 80% of outpatient prescriptions. I mean, Carl, you're talking about 84 million people at least. We don't know the number. They never give it to us. Let's assume 84, 85 million people have Prime in the United States right now, right?
Right. But I think it's about 100.
Could be, right?
Yeah. I mean, Carl, I got to tell you, people think of Amazon as the lowest price. I don't think there's anybody who worries about their privacy with Amazon. I mean, there was a time where I think people would say, I don't want them to have my information. I think that the drugstores have done a disservice. I don't think that their pharmacies are neighborhood pharmacies for the most part. So, Carl, the linkage between the neighborhood pharmacy and the customer, I think, is broken, and this is a good time for Amazon.
Well, as you guys point out, PillPack was a 2018 deal, so this has been in the ether out there for quite some time, right. Jim. Depot's the other amazing story. Our Robert Hum points out this morning that through Q3, Jim, about $100 billion in revenue, that is not that far from the entire year last year of $110 billion, and comps up 24, inventory up 2. Average ticket up 10, traffic up 13. It's an amazing set of metrics.
And it's not enough. And I think that, again, the stock has run up, but there's also a definitive housing trade. The housing stocks peaked when Pfizer came out with its vaccine. And, David, you know, there's the pre-Pfizer world and the post. And as soon as we got the possibility of nationwide vaccine, there are stocks that people have been running from like you wouldn't believe. And they were the stocks that people got excited about because we didn't think that we would have a vaccine anytime soon.
Right. And we saw that last week. And then we saw it again yesterday in the response to the Moderna news about 94.5% effectiveness for their potential vaccine candidate, both of which we could be seeing fairly soon, at least hopefully being actually put into people's arms, let's call it by early next year. Most vulnerable. But Jim, does it make sense? Have we gone too far, one trade to the other? Are we not taking account of the economic devastation that is going to be the case for a lot of small businesses over the next couple of months as coronavirus cases?
That's why I want to buy Walmart. If I can buy Walmart under 150, that's a nice turn from where it was at 154, because there's no stimulus. So it's too far. The general distribution of the vaccine, David, is too far versus the competition that must go under, because the balance sheets of anybody, I mean, this is like the restaurants where 40% are going under. The balance sheets can't be sustained against Walmart. Even grocery stores will have to examine whether grocery stores, whether there'll be more places like King's that go bankrupt. It is really a remarkable time, because I think that Walmart is the Darwinian winner of the brick and mortar. And to get rid of that stock right now is to be very short-sighted. Very.
So the landscape will simply be Walmart, a Target.
It'll be
here,
watch. I've just
a Home
been
Depot
watch.
And virtually a Costco and virtually.
Well, look, I think I've been in contact with Costco.
And then guys on the street delivering your Amazon stuff.
Yeah, I think that's so. And why not? Why not? That's the way of the future. And we can't fight it. Carl, Costco last night gives $10. To their customers, to their owners, because the balance sheet's so great. They don't have any problem.
Special dividend, yeah.
A special dividend, Carl. I mean, just put it in my pocket, please. This is a great time for Costco. And no samples.
It's the fourth special dividend in the past 8 years. It's also the largest. And, Jim, we talk about it all the time. Costco investors basically live for two things, membership fee increases and special dividends.
Yeah, Costco is a business where all you got to do is see how many people are signing up and you know how they're doing, because they don't want to necessarily make a lot of money. When I was out in Seattle, David, I don't know if you ever drink wine, but they had Camus well below what a distributor can get it at before they mark it up.
Really?
Yes.
You like that?
Good
and
years,
I
too.
I like to drink the Camus that you buy at your parties.
Yes.
In fact, I don't leave that area when they're actually pouring it.
When I have the special 40-year?
Yes.
But it is a remarkable thing to see the prices Costco. But remember, they want you as a member, and that's how they make their money. And they are just now going to storm China. Can you imagine? They're going to storm China.
Storm it, really? Just take it by storm? You know, Walmart tried to do that a number of years back. I remember having been there. It's gone okay.
They opened their first one, and then they had to close it midday because there were so many customers.
Yes, that happens. That happens. That happened with Walmart, too, though. We'll see.
Wow. Well, Mr. Negative.
No, I'm not being negative. China's an incredibly important market. We know companies. We have them on all the time that have had success there, such as Apple and Starbucks.
Yeah. And Biden, we haven't even talked, Carl, about the definitive nature of people who try to say that Vice President or President-elect Biden is going to be similar to Trump when it comes to China. That's nonsense. I mean, Biden's going to default to the old way, which is that TPP and let's get all the allies together and let's not do anything alone. And I think the people who think, I mean, he's not an America firster. He's a world, you know, he's a one worlder, to quote Wendell Willkie. I really believe that this is a very different time that we're about to go into and that President Clinton is saying that there is that it's on Xi. I think that Biden is going to be, he's going to come in peace. He's going to come in peace. Enough saber rattling. He's not going to tweet Xi, you know? He's not going to do, I don't think he's going to tweet anything.
Yep. Hank Paulson had some thoughts on how Biden's going to put China into a framework earlier in the week. Pretty interesting comments. I did notice, Jim, that the Journal has this story about Chinese companies listed here. According to the Journal, and looking at an SEC plan, need to have auditors overseen by U.S. regulators, which is something you've called for more than a year now.
That's why I like Alibaba. I mean, David introduced me to Alibaba, and what was incredible was it looks like an American company. I mean, David, it does, even though you could necessarily argue that the Communist Party sometimes doesn't like some of the things they got planned there.
No, and that's always a continued question as to whether there's influence from the Communist Party. That's certainly been the case with TikTok. You hear it all the time. Well, what do they really have access to? Can they get access to whatever they want? I don't think that's the case, and we know Alibaba. Listen, it's a very well-run company. And don't forget, these are companies also that are developing. You know, we think of them perhaps in a different way. They're developing AI, for example, whether it's ByteDance or Alibaba or Tencent. They are developing a level of artificial intelligence that rivals, if not exceeds, what we've got going on here.
Yep.
And Carl, that's a really important development as well as we talk about the competition between China and the United States.
Yeah. Indeed, guys, there is so much to get to this morning.
Oh, we got tons.
Including a lot of the 13Fs. And Berkshire getting back into equities in a big way. Tesla joining the S&P. Dorsey and Zuckerberg in front of Senate Judiciary later on today. And, of course, Powell, what might he say about the Fed's efforts perhaps to supplement the lack of stimulus? Futures are weak on the Dow. Back in a minute.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Got retail sales in the books. Now we get industrial production. Let's get to Rick Santelli.
Yes, we are awaiting our October read on industrial production, of course, and we're expecting a number around 1%. We're a little light on retail sales. We're coming in as expected, arguably a bit stronger here. Industrial production up 1.1%. Expecting 1, we ended up with 1/10 better. And this is a very interesting number because ever since the April reads, where we were highly negative, we've had 4 positives in a row, except for last month, which was down 6/10. So we regained that positive read on this series. And if we look at what's going on with regard to utilization rates, they were also better than expected. 72.8. This sequentially follows 71.5. And also, we had 4 ups in these rates, and then we took a back step. 71.5 last month was a bit in reverse. It didn't sequentially follow higher, but this regains that. So both of these reads, industrial production capacity utilization, regain the offensive with regard to better than expected numbers, sequentially stronger, and giving us a better gauge of exactly what's going on with regard to mining and industrial production and some of those energy numbers, of course, that have such an impact on these particular numbers. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick. Yeah, plenty of Fed speak to respond to both of those data sets later on today. In the meantime, we're watching Tesla, which is surging in the pre-market on news it will be added to the S&P 500 prior to the opening of trade on December 21. This is among the highest valued companies ever to enter the index, and its market cap of about $387 billion, that's based on the close, makes it more valuable than 95% of the companies currently in the S&P. Jim, if you take current trading into account, of course, the market cap is a four handle.
I think they're baffled. I really don't think they know how to handle this. What do you do? How do you kick? You can't have the S&P 500 only have 497 companies. Although I've heard people on air sometimes say there are 500 companies in the S&P. Shocker. I don't know what they would do. I mean, they can't. What do they knock out? They can't knock out the smalls. It doesn't do anything. David, when they balance this, I think it is going to be, they almost seem to have to make everything smaller.
Right.
How about that?
I guess. But, well, we've talked about, though, the influence of these mega cap companies on the index itself.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I always drew the distinction between the Dow and the S&P in part because one's a price-weighted index, one's market-weighted. But the fact is that Apple and Alphabet and Amazon and Microsoft, and then you get down a little bit, all right,
right,
Facebook and then Tesla, they have enormous impact on the movement of the index itself. It's only, what, six, seven companies.
And that's why I think that you see a lot of these younger investors say, you know what, I'm going to pick the best of the best. This index doesn't necessarily represent what I want, which is a piece of America. It represents a piece of about seven companies. And I think the younger people are not fooled. They are not indices. They do like ETFs, but they like to buy individual stocks that they think are going to be right. And that's been their pattern. Carl, younger people are really in to certain stocks. They love NEO, for instance. Wait, you just yawned at my analysis.
I was not on television, and it was something I couldn't help.
But you crushed me.
Everybody, he's looking at me even though he's talking, and I'm not on TV. And yes, I had a brief catching my breath.
My NEO analysis.
It upset Jim. I was listening to NEO. Go ahead. Tell me about the young people in NEO. I want to hear about it.
I'll get back to you.
No, the younger people, Carl, the younger people are transfixed. They love to buy Simon Properties when there's good news about retail sales. And anytime that anyone says, you know what, I might cruise, like Norwegian Cruise Lines, if they offer it, and I think they're going to, a test from CVS, and everyone's got to be tested, test, 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 and they come out and issue a release, they will buy Norwegian Cruise Lines. They are kings of the obvious. That's what they like. They like the obvious. Tesla goes up. Well, let's buy Tesla. How about hydrogen? Let's buy hydrogen. It's like they are herd animals. They are herd animals. Hey, you know what? The Steelers are in first place. Let's buy the Steelers. That's the way they think. They well, do.
Jim, it's working for them.
It is working. That's my
working
point. That's why my point is that the S&P 500 is old-fashioned to these people.
Understood, but it was a number of months back when we all thought, well, we're going to probably watch this new cohort drop off, but they haven't.
No, they're more involved than ever, and they're smart, and Carl, they're fun. They love it. They love individual stocks. Even though we think that they only love indices, Carl, they love stocks, and I think it's fantastic.
We hope it works out for them, guys. We'll take a break. Still a lot more to get to with the opening bell in 10 minutes. Don't go away.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow. Today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course. Get the limited-time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.
About 7.5 minutes before we get started with an opening bell. Let's get to a mad dash. Cummins engine.
David, one of the greatest fights playing out right now, this is including among young people, is hydrogen versus electric. And Cummins this morning, they have a proactive approach to a gradual transition. Thank you, Bernstein. Saying, listen, it's far out in time, but they're investing right now. Now, why is hydrogen interesting, David? Because Musk thinks it's a joke.
He does.
He does. He laughs at it. No one thinks it's going to be now. I mean, the Chinese are making hydrogen buses. Hydrogen basically doesn't have, you know, I'm talking about green hydrogen, you know, the best kind, the
right.
best kind. But this is saying that they have to commit now for the future. But Musk thinks there's no future to hydrogen.
Are they putting real capital behind
yes,
that?
Yes, that's, David, yes, that's exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
They're putting real capital behind it.
Okay.
How did you get, you always know everything. But what I think is really important is that there's room for both.
Right.
See, that's, you know, there's room for EV
right.
and there's room for hydrogen. And you have to be thinking that Steve Jobs, right before he died, what did he want? He wanted a car that ran on water. Well, a car that runs on hydrogen could be like that.
That's pretty close.
And remember, if you were EV, you plug right into a coal-based system.
Right.
Remember, we're
well,
still 28% coal. No.
Are we still 28%?
I thought we
were falling even below.
We're trying.
That.
Yeah. You know, those turbines that GE puts up.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce turbine?
Turbine.
Right. So what is that?
A turbine is...
I will know that Larry Culp is one of us,
yeah.
and GE is a regular company when they start pronouncing it turbine.
While we're on hydrogen, and I hear the music,
what?
Does this have any impact at all on Nikola, which, of course, is
committed to developing David, you
that
got that so right.
700 stations.
That was tomorrow. That was going to be tomorrow's mad dash.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Hey, by the way, I've got Lordstown tonight.
Lordstown.
Lordstown.
Oh, Lordstown. Okay.
Lordstown.
Got it.
Yes,
got it. Yep. Got it.
Lordstown.
I know them. Okay.
Look at that. Steve Burns, you know, he's top workhorse. He's top workhorse guy.
Okay.
That's a whole nother world, David, that I'm involved with.
It's so many
it's
different
It's kind
worlds.
Of like Kirby's fourth
You're
world.
You're worlds upon worlds upon worlds.
Yeah.
As
I'm
like
an enigma,
say.
A riddle. I'm all of these things.
It's your world. We're just living in it. All right. We got an opening bell coming right up next.
We've hit some of the retail numbers today out of Walmart and Home Depot, Jim. We didn't touch on Kohl's. Comps down 13 and change. We were looking for down 12 and change, but I know it's one of the names that you've said has been challenged for a long time.
I know you have Michelle Gossam, which is really fabulous. I'll tell you why. Because this is considered to be the ultimate non-essential retailer, not unlike Nordstrom. It has been sneaking up. And so my question is there room for this company? In a world where Walmart and Target and Amazon are so powerful. Now, they will say that they have certain brands that people like. But I would come right back and say, you know what? If you go to Amazon, you can get pretty much everything. So I think you've got to ask. This is a very much existential issue. David, well, no, you don't shop. Carl, when you go to a Kohl's, you look around. I can get everything from other places. Everything at better prices. So I need to know why they exist.
Oof. Oof.
Have we decided that the partnership with Amazon pickup delivery points mattered or not?
Amazon certainly doesn't talk about it. I mean, they've talked about it, but people seem to go right through it, and maybe they can say that they buy some things. Look, I think Kohl's is I used to shop at Kohl's. I mean, I used to get my gold-toed socks there. I like their shirts because we get makeup on our shirts. I wear their pants on the weekends. But my problem is, David, that I can't use Amazon for almost everything now.
So you're questioning their reason for being.
Yeah, it's a raison d'être.
Yeah, that seems pretty significant.
Well, it's not like, you know, it's not like Weeklo. It's not like Sart. It's
okay.
not a Camus situation.
You're not questioning TJ Maxx, however, a different retailer with a far larger market cap.
Well, but
do they differentiate still?
I can get TJX stuff right through the price of Amazon, particularly underwear.
Lower, much lower.
Much lower.
Yeah.
David, their underwear prices are to die for.
They're giving it away.
They are practically giving it away. There's a wall of underwear there that comes under. Macy's has got it like four times. But they do come under Amazon when it comes to underwear.
Yep.
But Amazon is great variety. What are you laughing at?
I go there too for that.
But when we used to be downtown, Carl,
yeah.
one of my favorite things to do was as soon as the show was over, sneak over to TJX and see what they had.
It was right across the street. Probably
it was
still
so
is right
good.
Across the street, Carl. It's just we haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah. Oh, what was it like down there? That was a heavenly TJX. I bought a lot of pants there.
We'll get back there, guys. The opening bell, of course, with some opening declines. Walmart, Home Depot, Walgreens are going to drag the Dow down about 80 points here at the open, Jim. Speaking of shopping in person, we got new restrictions yesterday out of California, Philly, Kansas City, Chicago, New Mexico, Washington State, and Iowa. That's just the ones that were announced yesterday, and we're expecting some more this week out of the likes of Minnesota. How much of that red screen do you think is because of that?
I think that the lockdown, without the stimulus, is kind of an American tragedy. That both parties just let everybody down. There isn't any sign of compromise. People need money to stay home. They had money to stay home last time. The number of firings is pretty great. We're going to see a spike, I think, in unemployment. But I don't know. Does the president, current president, David, I know he won the election according to his Twitter feed, but he's a minority in that.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Right?
He did not. He lost.
Well, you're definitive.
Yeah, I am. I'm willing to be definitive on that because we live in a
fact-based
world.
You're going right against the president. Right now, you're going right against the president.
For a long time, because when it comes to making financial decisions, you can't actually rely on fiction. So,
well, I agree with you, and I think that what's happened is that without stimulus, there's a lot of people who are out of luck.
Yeah, and it doesn't appear that we're going to get anything, certainly not between now and January 20th, and it's very much unclear, which, as most people believe, the Senate will remain in Republican control, what Mitch McConnell will really be happy to sign off on or willing to, particularly with the vaccine coming and the idea that, hey, the reopening is not that far away. So the numbers that Nancy Pelosi and the House had once hoped for, I mean, that's just...
No.
They should have taken the deal when they had the chance, maybe.
If there was a chance.
People say they should have, but it was never clear what McConnell would have gone for anyway, even with the White House on board.
Scrooge ain't delivering no turkey to Cratchit in this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is a...
So, it's going to be a rough...
It's going to be a very tough Christmas. Man. But do you think they care? They're so busy fighting each other? Carl, it's a disgrace.
I'm not gonna try to get into their heads, Jim. That's dangerous territory. I will ask you though about Powell and the notion that the Fed feels they need to do something in its place, right? Either on duration or on the monthly pace of asset purchases. We're currently running $80 billion a month, but I've seen some projections that say they could take it to 120.
Well, I mean, that man has a heart, and he sees exactly what's happening. I really commend him for recognizing the American tragedy that's developing between here and the vaccine, because he knows that there are a lot of stores, a lot of restaurants that cannot sustain this downturn. David, when I look at the Darden stock, which is above where it was before the pandemic, what that says to me is every other Italian place that you want to go is falling apart versus Olive Garden, David.
It's going to be a very, very tough go for any restaurants in the Northeast or any area, frankly, that is going to get cold. I mean, I just think it's as simple as that, given all the restrictions, Carl, that you just went through and more to come. And obviously the area we know well in the New York area, what they're going to go through, without any more PPP money or any more government aid, it's not going to be good.
Carl, we have to watch Peloton. Peloton is the tail of the tape.
Why?
Well, because if there's a big lockdown that's going to last forever, people are going to start buying Pelotons again.
Yeah.
That was the way it worked. That was the Peloton indicator, kind of like the lipstick indicator of the old days, David. The Peloton indicator. Carl, I don't know. Right. I mean, David Kostin, I really love. He's very, he's prolific. He's a prolific fella. He was saying that healthcare is the cheapest it's been, you know, since when Clinton went to Merck at Rahway and almost destroyed them and said, basically, look, you guys are a bunch of jokers, right in front of Dr. Vagelos, who's the chairman right now of Regeneron. Remember them? Because you take two Regeneron and you're better, David. I think that we have to look at healthcare after this decline. I urge people to look at McKesson, because McKesson is the company that's distributing the vaccine. And they're going to do a great job. And I think that that's a 9x earnings now. That is too cheap. So I liked some of these stocks coming down.
Yeah.
We can't just give up on everything.
Guys, let's get back to the Amazon effect this morning, because we saw the red on the real-time exchange. I mean, there's a good amount of it just as a result of Amazon's announcing Amazon Pharmacy, prescription
yes.
medications delivered from Amazon, of course. Prime members can access savings on medications at Amazon Pharmacy when paying without insurance as well. And they're talking at over 50,000 other participating pharmacies nationwide. Big savings is what they're offering. Obviously, free delivery within 2 days as well. Let's just go through some of the names. Well, there you see them. Rite Aid, Walgreens, CVS, GoodRx, of course, all getting hammered
GoodRx.
On this move in. But also the drug distributors. Don't forget them. I don't know if we have Cardinal Health or McKesson. Interestingly, AmerisourceBergen actually is a is PillPack's distributor.
Yes.
But I don't know if that necessarily extends to Amazon Pharmacy, because remember, PillPack is going to still be operated as a distinct service for customers who manage their multiple daily medications.
Oh, you're right, David. Look at how little AmerisourceBergen, look at how little they're down.
Yeah, so that's not down as much.
No,
but Cardinal
ABC.
Health, obviously McKesson, and then we saw all the big drug chains. Well, CVS and Walgreens being the key ones.
CVS bought Aetna, and now maybe we know why, right?
Yeah.
Look at that stock. It's just getting hammered, Karen Lynch, new CEO. How are we doing on getting some people on to talk about it, Carl? Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, it's kind of it's like friendly fire there among the drug companies. These companies love each other, frankly. It's kind of a nice, I don't know, it's not an oligopoly, but this destroys whatever pricing they have, the umbrella.
Yeah. Ella. In the meantime, guys, Pfizer did pick Rhode Island, Texas, New Mexico, and Tennessee for their vaccine delivery pilot program, which is starting to get off the ground. They chose those four states because of their different population personalities. The other thing, Jim, two things. One is Masasan is telling our Andrew Ross Sorkin a deal book about his goals in terms of raising cash for what he calls a worst-case scenario. He says he's very pessimistic in the near term. Hmm. The other is B of A and their fund manager survey, Jim, which although is the most bullish of the year so far, Hartnett says sell the vaccine in coming days and weeks, as we think we are close to what they're calling full bull.
Wow. Everybody who's tried to call a top here in anything has been completely wrong. I don't know where that money's going to go. It stays in. I mean, does it go to machinery? Those stocks are up big. Does it go to the autos? Those stocks are up big. My experience in this market is that the money doesn't leave. It just doesn't leave. It's committed to stocks. There's still a lot of money on the sidelines. David, we have seen multiple expansion like you wouldn't believe. There's a note from Bernstein today talking about how CapEx is down. And that has increased the possibility of the cash flow and their earnings.
Yes.
And maybe that's why the price-earnings multiple has expanded. It wasn't like Tony Saganetti said, and this is a good reason to buy it. But there are companies that are doing remarkable things with their cash flow. And a lot of the margins have been expanding in tech. Do they go back to tech? Do they go back to tech?
Don't they always?
They always do.
It always seems as though they
Because
do.
They love growth.
Right.
They go back to Snowflake, David. Snowflake.
Has Snowflake's price like to Rose revenue Biden. Multiple Snowflake. Come in a lot, Jim? I haven't even looked at
it. No, it's like 100 times sales. But, you know, easy come, easy sales. Go.
Yeah. 100 years worth of sales. I mean, obviously, we know those sales are going to go up dramatically.
It's Slootman, David.
Right.
It's the Flying Dutchman.
Right.
No one's ever defeated Slootman.
No. Masasan's pretty tough to defeat, too. He's had some rough goes at things. Carl mentioned it earlier. Andrew Ross Sorkin, holding his annual deal book conference, did interview Masa. But there was a back and forth that wasn't particularly positive in terms of at least the near term with the pandemic. Take a listen.
Well, as I said, the short run, I'm pessimistic that it's still increasing the second wave or third wave of the COVID-19 around the world. And, of course, the vaccine is coming, medical antibodies coming, but who knows, in the next 2-3 months, any disaster could happen. We're just preparing for the worst case scenario.
For the audience, I hate to be pessimistic, given your optimism about life usually. What does that worst case scenario look like to you?
Well, look, you know, before mass production, distribution of the antibodies, the vaccine comes, some major company could crash. The savior of the those collapse of the domino effect could happen, you know, like a Lehman crisis. Just one bank crisis made entire, the banking industry shake up, and that made worldwide crash of the stock market. So anything can happen in this kind of, situation. I think it's getting better with the news of the vaccines success of the early test. But I still want to be prepared for the worst case scenario. So,
listening to Masa, Jim, particularly given what SoftBank has had a very interesting year, let's call it.
Yeah.
Elliott got in the shares. They suddenly really changed their strategy in many ways, monetized an enormous amount of assets, bought back an enormous amount of stock. We talked about their day trading, their use of enormous options positions. Not clear that they've done particularly well in that in some of those technology companies late in the summer that they were buying.
That was a peak.
But you heard him. He says he's preparing, at least wants to be prepared for a worst-case scenario. Seems unclear, but making allusions to Lehman Brothers and the banking crisis of 12 years
and
ago.
And what's it exactly based on? His view, do you think? Well, it's his view.
Yeah.
But I find it troubling that he could be as bullish as he was on the most extended part of the market, and then talk about how he's not good near term unless the calls ran out.
I don't know about where they stand in their options position, which had been fairly large. But again, Moss has had another come from death. You know, he's near death experience with WeWork and the bank, everything going against him, and then kind of really turning it around and realizing a lot of what had been undervalued assets at SoftBank for some time and started to realize the value of it. Well, not to mention the ARM transaction, they've gone through so many different things. Yeah.
But you know what? You've got, it's a good segue into Warren Buffett,
yep.
Carl. I mean, Buffett blew out of his bank stocks after really sticking by them for ages. He blew out of them and is buying pharma a la Costin's. These are once in a lifetime cheapest they've been. But when I was chilled by the fact that Warren Buffett blew out of the banks because I thought that he could, I guess he still has a lot of Bank of America, but he blew out of J.P. Morgan like no tomorrow.
Yep.
And Jamie Dimon, by the way, is on Andrew's thing tomorrow. Maybe Andrew asks him directly.
Yeah, along with Ruth Porat tomorrow. But you're right. Raised the stakes in Bank of America, lowered the stake in JPM, and liquidated Costco. Jim, I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah, liquidated Costco. I thought that's a mistake. I mean, it is a mistake. I mean, it's just been nothing but up since he sold it. It's been nothing but up since it came public.
It's done pretty well with that Apple position,
which
is by far the largest.
And that was because he saw people with this at the Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
I haven't gotten any calls at all. Kind of like David gets a lot of calls. I'm going to take a picture of David.
I do get a lot of calls.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm going to post that.
Guys, all sectors are red. I got the VIX back above 23. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, it's sort of a stay-at-home day for the stock market, Carl. Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. 4-1 declining to advancing stocks. I'm kind of seeing a reversal here of that vaccine hopes, you could say, today. Energy, banks, leaders yesterday, laggards today. Industrials also laggards. Tech down a little bit here. Consumer discretionary is doing a little bit better because that's because consumer discretionary is where a lot of those stay-at-home stocks are today. So if you look at the few stocks that are on the upside, most of them are in that consumer discretionary group. So Amazon's trading up about 1%. eBay, Domino's, if you put up some of those there, Domino's flattish. Etsy, Best Buy, all those stocks, stay-at-home stocks doing a little bit better. Meantime, money is definitely coming into the stock market. One of the reasons I pay close attention to the exchange-traded fund industry, the ETFs, is you can watch the money flows. You can watch because there are shares created and redeemed depending upon the demand for it. And there's been a lot of money in the last several weeks going into the equity market. There's particularly large inflows into large and small cap equities, plain vanilla, S&P 500 index funds, Russell 2000 index funds, big inflows into those in the last several weeks. Generally, there have been outflows from Treasury ETFs, finally, and even some outflows from the biggest gold ETF, the GLD. That's interesting as well. By the way, the ETF business now passed $5 trillion in assets under management. That's a new record. We're probably going to see an all-time record for inflows this year, and a lot of it, as I mentioned, in the last few weeks. Hey, speaking of money coming off the sidelines, did you see this? The fund flows here from the Bank of America Global Fund Manager Survey. This is a survey of global fund managers. These guys are really bullish right now. I was surprised at these numbers here. Cash levels, 4.1%. That is a very, very low number. It hasn't been below 4% since 2013. All right, it's not below it yet, but you get the idea. They're taking money and putting it into the markets. 84% believe that global profits will be improving in 2021, and that may seem like not a lot, but that's the highest level since 2002. That's the most bullish they've been on global profits improving in 18 years. And of course, not surprisingly, the most crowded trade is long tech. People have been knowing that for a while, and we've been seeing money coming out of that. As far as Tesla going into the S&P 500, this is a very good teaching moment to remind people about the power of the indexers and the power of passive investing. So there's about $30 trillion in assets under management at the S&P 500. That's about 80% of the market value of the entire United States stock market. Passive investors own about 25%, those indexers. That's why when Tesla goes in the S&P, those passive investors have to buy it. This is why we pay attention. There's an awful lot of money indexed to the S&P 500. As for what it might do to the S&P, it's very interesting because Tesla's going to be in the consumer discretionary section. And right now, Amazon's the big dog in the consumer discretionary section. If you put that up, it's 40% Amazon of the S&P consumer discretionary group right now. If you put Tesla in, it's 35%. So it's going to be 4%, 5% lower than it was before. Tesla's going to be about 10% of the consumer discretionary group and about 1% of the S&P 500. And Carl, here's something important. Tesla is not going in at 100% of the market cap. It's only going in at 80% of its market cap because 20% isn't publicly available. So the way I figure it right now, Tesla will probably be about number 14 or number 15 somewhere in the S&P 500, somewhere right around Nvidia's market cap and Home Depot's market cap. Maybe, you know, 386 yesterday. It'll be a little bit less than that. So important thing is, big day for Tesla. Back to you, Carl.
Yes. Better late than never, Bob. Thanks. I know Santelli's watching yields and yuan and euro. Let's get to Rick Santelli. Rick?
Absolutely. I'm watching all of those. Let's start out with interest rates. We had a lot of data points today. We're a bit light on retail sales. Industrial production, though, surprised with some strength. Look at an intraday chart. We traded down to 86 basis points. Was, if you look at a two-day chart, below yesterday's 87 basis point low. That's important. So we now sit down 4 basis points. We still have some data points left. But the important part is, as you look at a month-to-date chart, we're losing a little bit of that momentum. So it's going to be very important to keep a very close eye on stocks today, because stocks is the magic elixir that could give the extra kick to push those rates back up. If you look at that month-to-date chart, what should jump out at you is last Wednesday was the high watermark close, going all the way back to pre-COVID, basically March, where we settled at 98 basis points. Now let's switch gears and look at what's going on with regard to the Chinese yuan versus the dollar. The dollar now is at a 29-month low, going all the way back to June of 2018. And the euro currency is at a 6-month low, sitting at the same place it was November 2nd. We need to pay close attention because we have a good look at what's going on with Chinese economy, looking at its currency. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. So obviously unwinding some of yesterday's gains back to essentially Friday's levels. The number of green Dow components has dwindled to Salesforce and Merck. We're back in a moment. Take a look at some of the NASDAQ 100 gainers this morning. It's Tesla and Costco at the top, two names that we've already covered news-wise this morning. But Jim, stay-at-home narrative sort of stitched through there. EA, Activision, Take-Two, Timo, which of course was part of the Buffett 13F.
Nascent moves here. Now, Take-Two was up 2. Now it's up a duff. You know, you got to really fight the futures here. But we're seeing some traditional ones. Zoom up a little bit. Roku. I mean, those are the ones to watch. I think that there is, I mentioned Peloton as a great tell. But I think that, look, the numbers are terrible. And a lot of people are going to stay home. And this is the tail of the tape again. We're really reverting to where we were. It's rather amazing. David, the numbers are so horrendous. and there's no congressional. What are they doing down there? They taking a break?
Yeah.
Little Thanksgiving day?
Carl, yeah. You know, we keep saying it, but it's important to point out, given everything else, that we're not going in the right direction when it comes to COVID cases and hospitalizations.
And in the meantime, the White House not really handing the baton to the President-elect's transition team. Absolutely, guys.
You we'll just posted a Giuliani thing, Carl. Your Giuliani tweet just now. Very important.
Jim, so Lordstown tonight?
Yes, ticket to ride. RIDE is the symbol. And Rockwell Automation, fresh off their analyst meeting. I cannot wait to talk to Steve Burns.
Jim, we can't wait either. We'll see you at 6 o'clock. Mad Money, of course, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Jim, good hour. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course. Get the limited-time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.